Christmas is getting closer and closer. Already more time passed since the convention than the time was left until Christmas. And one thing we enjoy a lot about Christmas, I think one of the traditions we still have, is the exchange of presents, exchange of gifts. So there is a little story. A lady asked her husband to buy a present for their son. One day she found some video games lying on her bed. So she thought that must be the present for our son. So she wrapped them as a gift and put it under the Christmas tree. A few days later, it was December 25th. The family gathered around the Christmas tree, and before they were about to open up the presents, they were talking to one another, and the little boy has a question for his mom. He said, "Mom, by the way, do you know where my video games are? I left them one day on your bed, in your room." That was quite an interesting story when he needed to open his gift, right? I don't know how your Christmas presents were the last few years, if they were good or bad, useful or useless. But I want to tell you something tonight. Everybody who's here tonight has received a gift from God the day he was born. And that gift is the gift of time. The gift of time. And the title of my message tonight is going to be Time, Friend or Enemy. Time, Friend or Enemy. Now, some of you tonight have already enjoyed most of this present. Some just started, like my daughter at home, right? 2 weeks old. But everybody got this precious and special gift from God. Let us open up the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 16 and 17. This is going to be the main passage for tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I'm going to read it again since it's just two verses. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. Now, the first thing we can say about time is that time is valuable. Time is valuable. If you ask a person who is on his or her deathbed what they would wish for, a lot of times what you're gonna hear is, "I wish I had more time." Because as they're lying there, there are so many things that go through their mind, what they would like to do, but there is no time left because the seconds and minutes pass by so extremely fast. Or if you ask a student who's sitting in his classroom and he knows that in about 5 or 10 minutes, the teacher is gonna come in with the test, and he decides to open the book and see, what did I need to learn for that test? And as he tries to learn very fast what he can, he realizes, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. Now, that might be not the case here, although I see some people laughing there, but it was once in a while the case in my life. There were subjects where I thought, oh, I don't need to learn for this. And as I started writing my test, I looked at the first questions, I realized I had to learn. But there was no time left. James chapter 4, verse 13 says the following. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Because time is valuable. You do not know how much of it you have left. We all know how much passed, but we do not know how much we have left. That's why time is extremely valuable. Now, the next thing we want to look at is a question which we need to respond before we can go into the core of this message. And this question sounds as follows. What is this life about? What is this life about? Now, this is a very important question because according to the answer what you have at this question, that's the way you're going to spend your time. Because if you're wise, if you're smart, you're going to spend it on what you think is important in life, right? Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. Most important days, the day you're born and the day you figure out why. Very, very important. Now, living in 2018... your life already has a little structure right when you start, right from the beginning. So the first few years, you're not going to decide a lot about your life because you have parents, if you're blessed, and then they are going to decide about what's important, how you're going to spend your time. Then there comes a time when you what you spend in school, and that's actually a blessing. But it's also, again, a time where you're stuck in that program and you need to learn certain things. But then there comes the time when you need to decide what you want to be, what you want to do, and on what things you want to spend your time. And this time, basically, or these possibilities, I see here three possibilities how you could make your life all about. The first possibility, what I see here, maybe there are more, maybe they're, I don't know, different, but just came up with those three. So, first thing is, you can make life all about you. That's the first possibility. So, you can make life all about your career, as example. You say to yourself, if I'm going to be that, if I'm going to have that position, then I know I spent my time wisely. Then I know I did well in my life. Then I'm going to be fulfilled. And then you will do everything you can to just reach that spot, to be that businessman and or to have that job title. Another possibility would be to make your life all about your body, right? I want to have the perfect body, so you're going to do everything. You're going to spend a lot of time in the gym, and everything you're going to do is going to be focused on that. Or you could say, I want my life to be all about fun. And all the time you have, all the money you have, you're going to put into things which are fun. So now you could make your life all about you. The second possibility is you could make life all about the loved ones around you. That doesn't mean that you neglect yourself, but your main focus in life is going to be about those around you so that they are happy. And that's the material we get to produce the best romantic movies, right? Like The Notebook, for some of you who have seen that movie, you know? A guy who finds a girl and then everything he does basically in his life is about that girl. Even when he remodels the house, he wants to make it so the way she liked it. All about those around us. Then there is a third possibility, what I see. You could make your life all about God. all about God. That doesn't mean that you neglect yourself or that you neglect those around you, but your main focus in life, what you care most about, is God. You know, there was an example, and I don't know if I'm going to tell the story 100% right, but I hope it's going to be beneficial enough so we understand it. It's pretty known. There was a lady who, her job was to wash the floor in a building. Now, that was a special building, and people kept coming in and out. A lot of the people who came in had dirty shoes, and the only thing that lady did all day long was to wash that floor. Now, a person looked at her, and he realized that that lady was so extremely happy all the time she was washing that floor. And he asked, how can you do this? I mean, you're doing the same thing every single day, washing that floor. People do not even care. A lot of them don't even look at you. And you keep doing the same work with such happiness. How can you do it? And the response was, I think of every single person as it would be Jesus coming in and out of this building. Do your work. Do everything you do in your life as you would do it for Jesus Christ. All about God. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will." Those are the words of Jesus Christ. As the human, or the human part of him, wanted every second, every minute, everything of his life to point towards the Father so that we might know more and more about the Father. That's why he was perfect, because in everything he did, he cared about the Father, about God. So therefore, the question we really want to respond tonight is, how do you spend your time, or how do we spend our time according to God's will? How do we spend our time according to God's will? Now, the first thing we see here in this passage in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 is that we need to understand the times we live in. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, Solomon comes and gives us quite a long list of things. Verse 1, it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal." And he keeps on going, a time to speak, a time to be quiet, a time for war and a time for peace. So now you could see this whole list as happening during your lifespan. And very often it is the case. There is a time in your life when you need to speak. There is a time in your life when you need to be quiet. Something what sometimes I had to understand the hard way, sadly enough. There is a time, but you could see this whole list also as happening on a longer time frame. Let me give you an example so we can understand this a little better. There was a prophet. His name was Jeremiah. Jeremiah. God chose Jeremiah, and one day God tells Jeremiah the following. "Jeremiah, I don't want you to get married." That's quite hard, right? If God comes to you and says, "I don't want you to get married." Now, why did God say that? Because, you see, marriage is one of the greatest blessings God has for us. Our family should reflect the unity and love of the Trinity around us. But then God comes to Jeremiah and says, "Jeremiah, not for you." Why? Was God thinking, "Oh, Jeremiah, he would be a really bad husband. He would not do good. You know, this guy would just..." Or was God's decision based on the fact that, you know, he chose Jeremiah to be a prophet and it would interfere with his mission to be a prophet? That's what we could say, right? But then it wouldn't make a lot of sense because there were other prophets, they were allowed to marry. But the Bible gives us the answer, so we don't need to think too much about it. The reason was the time Jeremiah lived in. Judgment was about to come upon Israel. Jerusalem was burned down. People starved. People died. Judah, the tribe of Judah, was taken captives into Babylon. It was such a hard time. It was easier to not be married, to not see your wife starve or your children die, right? That's also how we could explain the passage in the New Testament when Paul says, maybe it would be good if you don't marry. Of course, there are a lot of possibilities and people answer in different ways to this passage, but let's also think about the historical fact. And after Paul said those words, not long time after that, there were 10 waves of persecution coming. There is a certain time. So you need to understand the time you live in if you want to be efficient, if you want to spend your time, what God gave you, according to His will. Now, what can we say about our time? So there is a long list what we could say about our time. I just picked some stuff. One thing we could say is, theologically speaking, we live in a life of syncretism. Syncretism. So that means there is a mix and match of all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of religions, and you take something from there, you put it all together, and that's what we believe, you know? And we have so much information, access at our fingertips to so many commentaries and all that. And we don't understand the passage. And we say, let's not bother our pastor. I'm just going to go online and look for the right response. The mistake we do sometimes or once in a while is we do not look at the source. We just read the commentary and sometimes it sounds pretty good. And we're like, yeah, that's what this passage means. And the problem with that is, you see, if you do not have a strong foundation into Scripture, like our pastor said, if you do not open this book often enough and read it and understand it, problem is you might get carried away by all kinds of weird beliefs. And you might say, oh, that's the way it is. And that might bring you on some really weird paths. Therefore, the solution to that is read the Bible. Read it, read it, read it, and understand it. Try to understand it. And be very critical about everything you read in other books in general. Okay, number two. We live in a world without walls. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is your bathroom can be seen by the whole world. Why? Because you post it. Because you post it. Now, you already see what I'm attacking here. I'm talking a little about social media. Now, social media, it can be a blessing. That's true. But it can be also a big waste of time. Now, why do I say that? Let me give you an example. Family wants to have breakfast. Nice breakfast with the family. Now, they don't care that much what kind of bread they eat. They like all kinds of bread. But, you know, the wife decided she wants to be a little more trendy and, you know, she wants to be a little more on social media, post some nice pictures because her friends do that as well. And she says to her husband, you know, we're out of bread. Go and buy some bread. He's like, okay, that's fine. There is an Albertsons 5 minutes away. I'm going to go and buy some French bread. And she's like, no. Listen, I want to post a picture. I wanted to go and buy avocado toast from Sprouts. But Sprouts is 30 minutes away. Doesn't matter. I want to post a picture. Do you understand me? Well, maybe it doesn't happen very often here. I just said that with the avocado toast because a millionaire once said that if you want to buy a house one day, Stop buying avocado toast. There is a trend for everything in this world, right? And I know I had a discussion once with my wife. I don't know if she's going to be happy or mad when she hears that online, but I'm just going to say it. You know, one day we wanted to go somewhere out and we wanted to take some pictures. And, you know, everybody was getting dressed. So I got dressed and I got my shirt, what I usually wear. And my wife is like, Lucian, again this shirt. Yeah, what's the problem? It's not worn out. But Lucian, you have this shirt in every picture. Every picture, you're always in the same shirt. You need to wear another shirt as well, you know. Like, people close their eyes, and when they see me, they already see me in a specific color, because I'm always wearing the same thing. I'm one of those people, you know. I don't have a lot of clothes, I would say. And the clothes I have, I usually wear just one part of it. And then if that breaks, then I'm getting to the next and to the next. That's why I almost never go shopping. Now, there are people who say, no, I'm going to wear something maximal 2 times because I already have 2 pictures on the internet and I'm not going to wear it more times. And people are going to say, man, what's happening? You know, so social media. Sometimes, and just think it from the time perspective, you know, you need to spend so much time going, buying clothes all the time, money, all that, right? That's why I think they brought the business with the renting of clothes and so on. Anyway, also not the best idea sometimes. Another struggle nowadays is time itself. Time itself. Now, people have figured out ways to make our life more optimal, quicker, faster. For everything, there is a faster process now, right? At the beginning, we all thought that's a great idea. And sometimes it is, you know. The problem is, you see, we still have a lot of businessmen out there, and they're smart. So they know they just saved you 30 minutes on a specific task, which takes you now 10 minutes. What do you think your businessman is going to do? For the other 20 minutes, he's going to give you something else, right? That's the truth. I mean, it's the truth. That's why they want now to put Wi-Fi into all the airplanes so that people can work while they're flying as well. So that people can work all the time. And you get home and you realize you're really tired because you keep on working so that you can keep up. So that you can keep up. You know, we say, and it's true, it was really hard for our grandparents to walk all the time. They didn't have cars and all that comfort and all that. It's true. It was for sure hard. But on the other hand, while they were walking somewhere, they had time to talk to each other, time to think about God, time to sing a song, and so on. You know, maybe to my supervisor, the time what I spend in my van driving from a customer to the other is completely lost time. He's not making any money during that time. He's only making money when I repair something. But this time, while I'm driving, this lost time in his eyes, this example, is maybe one of the most benefic times for me. Because that's the time when I can listen to a sermon. That's the time when I can listen to scriptures. That's the time when I can pray and sing and so on. Therefore, what do I want to say by all that? I think you really know exactly what I'm talking about. We are very, very busy nowadays, right? We're really busy, I know. But take time. Every day of your life, make time for God, for prayer, for worship, for reading the scripture. There is no fast food for that. There is no fast way. There is no faster process. Reading is reading. It takes time. And sometimes we don't really get that much smarter. And it takes, sometimes I read the verse 5, 6 times, 10 times, 20 times until I understand it. Take your time. It's worth it. Understand the time you live in. Then, number 2. If you want to live your life and spend your time according to God's will, the next thing you need to do is don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. So the first thing we need to do here is think. And the second thing is think. Third thing is think. Think what God wants from you. This message somehow binds a little with what Daniel said last Sunday. You see some person, he's doing great in his ministry. Don't be a copy. You're unique. God has a special plan for your life. Therefore, think what God wants you to do. Think what God wants you to do. Just think about Mozart as example. What if Mozart would have said after 10 years of making music, you know what? I mean, I see I'm pretty good at it. People keep telling me that, but I'm just going to stop. I always had kind of a little love for doing construction. What if Mozart would have said after 10 years of making music, I'm going to be a constructor or something, contractor, general contractor? We would have never known Mozart as we know him today. Although only 35 years, all his life, he wrote music. And he did it very, very well. And that is the reason why we don't know other people who could have been maybe almost as good as Mozart. Because they gave up. Edison. Think about Edison. I read online, I don't know if it's 100% true, but I read that he needed about 1,000 attempts to build the light bulb. I heard a confirmation, very good. So, think about Edison. If he would have said after 300-400 times, I mean, think about it, 300-400 times. I mean, we're not talking here about 5-10 attempts. 300-400 times he would have said, you know what, I'm going to give this up. It's a waste of time. I'm just not going to do it anymore. Maybe tonight we would have been all here with candles, trying to see each other, right? Of course, there would have been another person maybe who would have figured it out. But he didn't give up. That's what's important. He made the best light bulb. There were other people who tried. His one was the best. Why? He didn't give up. Think about another guy who all his life was a very successful businessman. He built hotels all over the world. Very, very good businessman. And then one day he decided to be a president. I'm just kidding, guys. He's doing a great job, honestly. But it's still pretty funny. Think what God wants you to do. God has a special plan for your life. God has a special plan for your life. We all want to be God's image, right? Because he created us to be God's image. Let's make man in our image. But we are unique. We want to follow his purpose. And then the last thing for tonight. Make the most of every opportunity. It's the beginning of verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity. I think there is nothing worse, again, going back to the student, to sit there in his classroom and then the teacher comes back. This time he really learned. But then the teacher comes back and says, you missed the grade by half a point. I think there is nothing worse. I remember, especially when you're between positive and negative. You know, and then the teacher comes, half a point. I'm sorry, I tried to give you that half a point. You know, some teachers come and say, you know, I tried to find something there, but there was nothing there. Yeah, I'm sorry, you missed it. And you really think, man, if I would have given a little more, if I would have learned a little more, or those 2 minutes, you know, you missed the flight. If I would have given a little more to be on time, right? If I wouldn't have drank that coffee or whatever. Coco knows what I'm talking about. If I would have given a little more. There was a person once, our pastors know his name for sure. I don't. But I know he was asked once, what would you do if tomorrow would be your last day? And his response was quite remarkable. He said, I would live the exact same way as today. I would live the exact same way. I mean, I don't know if that can be always 100% true. But, you know, it's so amazing if you always give 100%. And you're never gonna regret anything. Because you do everything what's in your power to put a smile on God's face, you know, if you want to see it like this. I want to close with one example. A philosophy professor, by the way, I want to close because first, Pastor Kui didn't know I'm going to talk about time, but he told me when I got in, be careful, you need to be short. Good messages are short. he said it's easy to preach 45 minutes. You don't need to prepare a lot for that, but you need to prepare a whole week to preach 30 minutes. And he was right. It would be weird to have a message about time and then talk for an hour, right? Okay, so last example. A philosophy professor came to his class one day, and he brought a big jar out of glass. And he started putting big rocks into that jar. He filled it up and then he asked the class, is this jar full? They said, yes. Then he took out a box and he put pebbles into the jar. Shook it a little, the pebbles went in all those spaces where the rocks couldn't get. And he asked the class, is the jar full? The class said, yes. Then he took a box of sand and poured it into the jar. And of course, the sand went into all those other empty spaces. Is the jar full? Yes. The jar is your life. The stones is God. If you would lose your health, if you would lose a loved one, and you still have God, your life is still full. Pebbles are the other important things, like your family, your health. Your life is still full. The sand is the other stuff. Your life is still full. But if you put the sand into the jar first, there is no room for the pebbles. There is no room for the rocks. The same goes for your life. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you won't have enough room for the things that are really important to you. Therefore, pay attention to the things that are critical to your eternal life. Amen.